B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
In his 15th season from Hacienda and Quebec, number 37, Patrice Bergeron. On defense, in his 21st season from Tennessee, Slovakia, number 33, Zdeno Chara.
So that was a good one. That was a good one for those of us in the building lucky enough to be there. That was legit. That lives up to it. Were you there, Murray, last night?
I was not, no. But on TV, I thought it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
In his 15th season from Hacienda and Quebec, number 37, Patrice Bergeron. On defense, in his 21st season from Tennessee, Slovakia,
so that was a good one. That was a good one for those of us in the building lucky enough to be there. That was legit. That lives up to it. Were you there, Murray, last night?
I was not, no. But on TV, I thought it translated. I mean, it's awesome. It was an awesome moment.
Great. It's tremendous.
And so as much as I've bitched about the officiating, that they couldn't get more of an emotional lift collectively, the Bruins.
Well, they played well in the first period.
They did. They had a good first period. Yeah. Binnington was huge.
And Binnington was great last night, but again, one goal last night. So I'm with you. Like, both things could be true. I think they got jobbed on the Achari call and the no call on Johansson. And that top line and some of their best players have done absolutely nothing. So for Achari to come back last night and them to still wilt the way that they did in the third period more than for the second straight game, like, that annoyed the hell out of me.
It should. And it should. They're getting shut down by the St. Louis defense and goaltending. They're getting their ass shut down. And that's the story. How do you think Achari played?
I would say C.
Yep. Not great.
He was mediocre.
He is, man. He is tough with the puck coming out of his own zone. They got to do more. They got to. I feel like they stretch out too much. And the guys, you know, you come back and help him out. Because if I've got to see him throw that high flip one more time into the neutral zone, I'm going to puke myself.
And I'll tell you what, early on in the game, I thought their forwards were coming down low to get the puck. The passes were shorter. They were getting into the middle.
Yep.
They were avoiding the walls. It was better. But then it deteriorated again.
Okay, to your thoughts. Again, as promised, thanks for holding on. David in New Hampshire. Go ahead, David.
All right, so this is when I got a problem, Felger. You keep talking about how there was 3-1 in penalties. All right, each penalty is called on a specific event that occurs on the ice. They don't think, oh, we've already called 5, can't call 6. No, they see a penalty, they call a penalty, unless you're that hack, Sutherland. Second of all, when you embellish, you put your ass on one side, not your shoulders. The charm went shoulders down first.
I never said he flopped. I mean, I think people have, you know, put that in my mouth. I was asking Amonte what was in the official's mind when he made that call, and could past embellishments have been in his mind? I don't think he dove on that. Maz, you think?
I think he embellished a little. I do, but listen, again, it was a penalty. I'm just telling you, when you watch him with his legs kicking up like that, he dressed it up a little bit.
So
that, now again, I'm not saying that it hurt him or didn't hurt him. I'm just telling you, he dressed it up a little bit. It was a penalty, though. It was a blatant penalty.
And I think the Bruins have done that fairly consistently because the power play is so important to them. That's all. Now, the thing about you're supposed to call each one independently. Yeah, sure. In a perfect world, it never works that way. And as I said to you, you were 3-1 in four, 3-1 in penalties in power plays. It was about to be 4-1 because the arm was up when DeBrusk scored. So you were 4-1 in penalties. And you're complaining about all these other things. What do you really expect? Did you really think they were going to call like 6-1 or 7-1 or 8-1? I mean, when I listened to all your complaints about all the officiating, did you really think it should have been 8-1?
No, but I also don't expect them to miss one that is so egregious when the guy is looking right at it.
Yeah, so to me, it was blatant. That's the part of it that's hard, is that in theory, the blatant ones are supposed to get called. Like, let me just quickly, because do you think Marchand's thing was a penalty?
No.
No, that was a rough one.
I mean, so like you sit there and you say, well, wait a minute. You call that, but you don't call the blatant slew foot? Like, that's the part of it that I think that's hard for people to process.
They shouldn't have called the Marchand.
So, but look, you know how I am. So then, I hate bitching about the refs.
So then what, you folks wanted to be 6-0? You're not going to get that. And I don't know if you deserve it. You didn't control the game. You weren't in control of the game. You weren't dictating the pace of the game. You weren't in control of the game. And you want, I mean, literally, to listen to these folks, you think it should have been 6-0 in power plays for the Bruins.
I mean, so, you know, that just gets stupid. I mean, that gets stupid. The fact is the Bruins lost the game because they're getting outplayed.
Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, all of these Bruin fan losers who wax politically about those big, bad Bruins and how for the last century of the franchise, guys, stop embarrassing yourselves. And instead of spending the next 3 days whining about officials, grow some nuts and demand something from your own team. If you want to whine, call the league office, harass them. The Bruins' best fight last night came in section 323 with the two drunk bozos on that video that went viral. And last thing, Tuukka Dubravka is now 0-5. After game 3 of the cup finals, I still stand by Halak as a better choice. Jordy Binnington just won the game. He's never won in his whole career.
Okay, I'm just going to let you go. Jake, they're not going to bring in Halak.
That guy bugs me.
I know, he's annoying. I mean, I'll just say again with Rask, I feel like I've been in this spot a lot in his career. It's not his fault. He's been good. I don't blame him for either goal. I really don't. Except it was the other guy that came in here and won the 2-1 game, not you. So, when are we going to get that night from Rask? At this stage, we've gotten it. This playoff run, we got it for the playoff run in 2013. But when are you going to get, I mean, all the Tuukka folks want to tell you that he is Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas, when he got to the final, 5 of the 7 games were one goal or no goals. He held Vancouver to 1 or fewer goals in 5 of the 7 games. Can Rask give us one of those?
I don't know. Now, I'll say this, that he, you know, at the end of the Chicago series, he deteriorated bad in 2013. That hasn't happened yet.
No, I agree.
So, game 6 is the one in theory. Like, you're going to go into St. Louis now. They haven't won a cup in 50 years. You think they were buzzing in the games down there? Wait until this one.
Well, score the first goal and let's see how they respond.
So that's key.
Because last time you did that there in game 3, which was a big night for them, they didn't respond too well.
But you know what? The first 5 minutes of this game are going to be hard. Probably. Okay? No guarantees. But probably. You're going to need the goalie. Let's see if Rask is up to it.
Steve in New Hampshire. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Listen, this is my take. I understand the Bruins have not been playing good with their first two lines, but the way I was taught as a ref, and I know people will ref, it's not what you anticipate. It's not what you think should be called. It's what you're actually watching. And for the ref to be standing in that corner and have all eyes on that play and see something that blatant and not make a call, it's outrageous. It's just outrageous that call was not made. Now, that's not the reason why we're losing this series. But a call like that and a big goal is a big turning point in this series when we ended up losing by ultimately one goal in this game. And that's a big, big loss going back to St. Louis.
So it's different to say they blew the call, which they did, and to say you got robbed or it's some sort of turning point. The point had already turned. You were getting smothered in yet another game. You were getting shut down for the second straight game. And you were not in control of that game. You were not dictating pace. You were chasing the play more often than not. And so what point was turned?
Yeah, there was no point that was turned.
They immediately scored a goal to make it 2-0, which that was truly the turning point. They were effed at that point.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Bruins were going to score, though.
The turning point was Ryan O'Reilly in that first shift of the second period. That was the turning point.
I mean, I look at it and say, like, this whole idea that all of a sudden, you know, they got the goal to make it 2-1. The Blues play differently if it's 1-0. When you have the extra cushion, you back off a little more. I don't connect those. Like, everybody assumes the goal would have happened otherwise. I don't. And I just look at it and say, they've owned you for two games now. They've owned you for most of the series. The Blues have outplayed you. And I think everybody today, honestly, is misdirecting their frustration and their anger. You want to lash out at the refs because it's an obvious one. They blew the call. The call sucks. Of course they blew the call. It's not why you're down 3-2, though.
And you didn't get robbed. You get robbed if you're leading the game and that call then makes it a tie game and you lose on, another goal. Like, that's getting robbed. You get robbed if you've controlled the game, dictated pace, were the better team, and then a call goes against you. See, it's very rare, very, very rare, where you should win a game, but you don't because of the officials. Very rare, which is why it's sort of pointless to talk about. And there's only a few cases. And when it does happen, I do say it, Murray. I do. I remember a Patriots game in Denver, whatever year it was the year the kid dropped the punt.
15, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember all the calls, but it's where Zoe lost his mind on a play that wasn't even a bad call. It's when they called a timeout that you didn't have or whatever, but there were some pass interference calls. You got robbed on that game. Again, I said it the next day, and that was rare. You were better that night, and the refs, so I'll say it if that happens. If the Bruins were the better team last night and were in control of the game, never mind the scoreboard, then I'd say, yeah, the refs impacted the outcome of that game. I think the better team won. So what am I going to do there?
I feel like the better team has been ahead right now in the series.
They've taken control of the series. Do you not notice it? Have you not seen that? But still, here we go. Patrick and Quincy. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Mike, I got a question for you. Are you stupid or what? Like, it doesn't matter how many calls there have been against the Bruins and against the Blues in a game. The referee was right in front of him. The Bruins are down in the game at that point. That has to be called 100 times out of 100.
It has to be called. I agree with you. It should have been called, Pat.
But you've been saying the entire show that what do you want? You want eight power plays even though the Blues only have one? That's what you said. You said that it shouldn't have been called because the Bruins would have had too many power plays.
I never said it should have been called. I said all the calls that you're complaining about, the hit on Krug in the corner, the hit on Barbashev, which, should have been a penalty too. I'm just saying, realistically, you're not going to get a 7-1 advantage in penalties. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
That's the way that the game went. You can't find. Then maybe other calls in the game shouldn't have been called. But at that point in the game, when the referee is right in front of it,
they should have called it. They should have called it. I agree.
And I'm sick and tired. I'm with Murray. I'm sick and tired of the league pandering to Craig Berube. The guy's a liar. He's lied through his teeth now for days saying that, we're the least penalized team in the playoffs so far. Lie. They're the third least penalized or whatever the heck it is. The guy's lying through his teeth. It's like the 10th time he said it. And the league is pandering to that guy? No.
Do you know what? I'm sorry, Patrick. Thanks for the call. You know what I think the Blues are doing? Which we see have done in sports. We've seen teams around here do it. And it's smart to do. Which is, they're not going to call 7-1 penalties against us.
Patriots masters at it.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, 2014 Patriots are great at it.
Can't call them all.
I mean, for that very thing, they're not going to call them all. If you think the play on the ice deserved for the Bruins to be on 7 power plays and the Blues to be none, I won't argue with you. Maybe you're right. I just put that to the side. Let's say that that's actually true. They're never going to call it that way. They're never going to call it that way.
No, because again, then they'll be accused of injustice and they know it looks bad.
Murray, you said it, they can't call them all. So the Blues are out there doing their thing and they're not calling them all.
And again, so for that, they are smart. I'll give them credit there. But the Bruins, they should try to take advantage of that too. Like, that is also pretty annoying.
Well,
like,
and it shouldn't have been 7-0. The slash on Marchand should not have been called. But you almost tied the game on what should have been a penalty. Charlie Coyle skated by Bennington and knocked his stick out of his hands. And that was the point shot from John Moore that went through the wickets, and I think it was Gunnarsson cleaned it off the line.
Yeah, right.
So with 2 minutes left, the whole reason why Binnington didn't have a stick is because Coyle skated by and whacked it out of his hands. And that's 2 minutes left in this Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. I don't want them calling that either. I like the swallowing the whistles. The Achari thing should have been a penalty. It just should have been. I would just be more on your side if you were the better team in that game.
They weren't. They haven't been now for a while. Again, they have not held a lead since game three.
It's an agenda-free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Which means we hit on everything from the week. So we'll do a lot of this today. I feel there's a lot of steam to get off your chest, which we're more than willing to take. But there was some big developments this week as it relates to Kyrie Irving and the Celtics, and we'll circle back to some of those things right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Brooklyn will hope that Kyrie Irving would be the Pied Piper to go recruit another star free agent, namely Kevin Durant, to join him in Brooklyn. But it takes a level of confidence 3 weeks out from free agency to give up two first-round picks to clear the cap space you need to have two max slots. But Kyrie Irving is that target, and there is no question, I'm told, that Kyrie Irving has a serious interest in the Brooklyn Nets in free agency. If Durant wants to play with Kyrie Irving in free agency, then Brooklyn is absolutely more than a viable option. If he wants to play with Kyrie in free agency, he may have to do it in Brooklyn, because his focus right now, Kyrie Irving, if he leaves Boston, is the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, it's agenda-free Friday. Again, everything from the week, so I just think we got to hit on this. We didn't do much of it yesterday. This was Adrian Wojnarowski after the Brooklyn Nets make a trade to clear out more money. Who'd they trade again? Doesn't matter.
Crabtree.
Alan Crabb.
Okay. Is his name Crabb or Crabtree?
Same thing.
Crabb.
Alan Crabtree. He's traded out with a first-round pick, okay, to clear out the money. So the Nets give up their first-round pick to get rid of this guy and his money. They now have two max slots, two. Not just room for Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie Irving and ..
Kevin Durant.
Do you think, Jimmy?
No, I don't think, but it's what Woj was just talking about, which opens up a whole nother door.
If it's not Durant, who do you think it could be?
A trade for Anthony Davis is possible.
Yeah, so, I don't rule that out.
So they need the cap space for Anthony Davis?
They would, yeah.
Even though they'd be sending money back and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Okay. Would Kyrie go there if it were just, is Tobias Harris a free agent?
So I think Harris and Irving are destined for the Nets. I think Brooklyn really wants Tobias Harris. He would be their Al Horford.
I think Kyrie.
Which Kyrie will hate.
I think.
Well, he'll hate everything, as we've come to know.
I think Kyrie wants anybody that is clearly the second guy to him. And Anthony Davis would be, because he's younger.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I don't think it's Durant. I think Durant's going to the Knicks. And so, I'm just telling you what I think. And I think that Kyrie wants someone to play second fiddle to him, just like he wanted Gordon Hayward. And so, the Nets are going to try to facilitate that.
Is this just another log on the fire, more indication it's over?
Oh, yeah, please. I mean, again, how many times have you heard any of these talking heads, these NBA guys and gals that are as plugged in as anybody else, talking about the Kyrie Irving free agency situation and not name the Boston Celtics? It's every time. It's every other team but the Celtics. It's the Nets. It's the Knicks. It's maybe another team, but it's certainly not Boston.
It's unbelievable. I haven't heard one Boston, other than the local guys.
Right.
Say he thinks he's coming back, because why would he ever go to the Knicks or the Nets?
Even the Celtics don't think he's going to the Celtics.
So like that, it's just the guys that cover the team. Even Danny Ainge sounded like a defeated man this week. The poor bastard.
Poor guy.
Oh, the poor guy. He's waiting there with his wedding invitations. Again, Danny, is the wedding still on? That was from this week. That was a very revealing sort of press conference, too.
I remember a few months ago you talked about you can't do anything until, obviously, free agency starts. You use the analogy kind of like that's when you can kind of have the wedding. Is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I could say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
I don't know.
But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication now.
It's a wedding salon. I don't know.
It's a broken man.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, it's a killer, isn't it, for him?
And he's asked later on, again, this I thought was the money quote. He's asked later on about his appetite to assume risk in any deal that he's going to do going forward, and he turned it right back to the broad that's standing him up at the altar.
It depends. There's always risk in making deals, and we're not afraid of risk. We made a risk by trading for Kyrie, and no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on to the next deal.
Yeah, poor guy.
We had our times together. It's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
He does. He sounds like someone who knows the relationship. Kyrie's gone. I mean, if he were to come back at this stage, I'd be stunned. After hearing the Celtics the other day, how could you possibly think he's coming back? After listening to Ainge right there. Seriously.
No, I'm with you.
He sounds like he just figured it out this week, too.
I don't know about that. I think he's just saying it. I think they've known.
Okay, well, then Maz that's an informed smirk right there from Maz.
I told you early on that I think that they fear that Brooklyn's a threat. I started to get the sense a little bit during the season that all of a sudden it was like, well, we're not sure if he's coming back, which means if we're not sure, we don't think he is. Because otherwise, as you like to say, it's happy horse crap. And I don't look, I just got the sense that they started to feel, this is not going the way we want it to go.
Okay, so how about this? Ryan Russillo is on a Bill Simmons podcast this week, and I just want to set it up properly. He's talking about a source of his who has told him all season long, don't buy that thing from Kyrie to begin the year where he said he's going to return to the Celtics. Don't buy it. And the guy was telling him that all season long. His source was telling him all season long, don't buy Kyrie saying he wants to stay. So when you hear Russillo say, don't buy it, what he's talking about, don't buy Kyrie and Kyrie's speech in the pregame there with the season ticket holders that I'll stay if you'll have me. Don't buy that. Go ahead with this.
I talked to one guy who was the same guy that told me Durant was going to the Warriors in January of that year. The same guy said, don't fall for it with this Kyrie stuff. Don't fall for it all year long. He goes, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. And when everybody thought he was coming back, the same guy was like, he's not. He's like, I'm telling you right now, he's not. So I think Kyrie, and just looking at his Instagram post, that would make 311 jealous.
Can you stop for a second? I need a translation there. Who's 311?
I mean, they're a terrible alt band from Omaha, Nebraska. I don't understand what he's going for there.
Me neither.
With the analogy.
I mean, modern pop culture reference that the millennials goes right over my head.
Russell used to do that to me all the time whenever I worked with him. He'd throw in some pop culture stuff. I'd be like, huh?
Because he's on Simmons' podcast. That's why.
I have to track down your joke.
Typically, I get these, but this one I don't get. 311, Kyrie Irving.
Love him to death. But again, that's one of those, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Was that some numerology thing, Stu?
I don't think so in that case.
Okay.
I mean, as far as, is March 11th some
because
big day on the calendar?
Because numerology speaks in singular numbers, unless you get a certain double digit, and then you have, like, the perfect life or something like that.
So anyway, Brazil's got good intel here. I was just wondering if anyone knew what the heck that meant. Go ahead.
And then you dumb the number down, and then it becomes a singular number.
Well, but Kyrie's big into this crap, right? The numerology stuff?
Oh, yeah. I've done some research on this in recent days.
Good Lord.
I think his numerology group this week picked Brooklyn.
Continue.
And just looking at his Instagram post, that would make 311 jealous. That Kyrie just knew, let me just play it this way. And either he convinced Boston he was coming back, or Boston's game plan as a front office was that everybody they talked to just positive, positive, positive. Kyrie's coming back. Kyrie's coming back. It's a certainty. It's a lock. It's the whole thing. I don't think Kyrie had any intention of sticking around. And I think it goes back to last year in the playoffs and not showing up. I think it's...
He didn't show up for a game 7 because he was on an Uncle Drew publicity tour?
Yeah. I think all this stuff is connected. And
he's the leader of the team.
Whether Boston knew it and played it a certain way or Kyrie played them. And that's fine because what they gave up asset-wise...
It was a great risk. I support it.
It's and a good trade.
Good luck in Brooklyn. Good luck to the Nets fans.
Okay. We can put aside whether it's you won the trade or not, or that sort of thing. But was Kyrie playing him all season long?
I don't rule it out.
I think so.
I don't rule it out. I mean, I just think looking back, this guy's one of the great frauds of all time. He really is. And sadly.
Second only to his daddy.
Okay, right. That's right.
Again, I mean, his father's LeBron.
Yeah. It's in the DNA, right? Daddy has it. You has it. Fraud factor. Huge, phony fraud. I'd still take him. I love the talent.
And if not from, you know, before the season and that whole thing that he did to the season ticket holders, maybe within the first month when he realized Gordon Hayward was not Gordon Hayward, maybe that's what was like, okay, I want no part of this going forward. He's never going to be the same again.
How about the commercial with the numbers in the rafters?
Oh, my God, really?
That was a crock.
Like, that's even worse, almost than the season ticket holder thing. That could have been heat of the moment. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I just got sort of swept up in one day. The commercial is scripted, blocked off, planned, shot, edited over the course of days and weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's a premeditated...
Big production
piece of bull crap. Not just a one-off comment, whoops, maybe I shouldn't have said that. That is a produced piece of bull crap.
So maybe he's just one of these guys that says, well, what I say now doesn't hold me to anything later.
No, what a
yeah, but that's
what
going next level. That
what
commercial.
Do these diva types have? A big flair for the dramatic. So in the moment, he liked doing that, and he knew the people would eat it up around here. But a few weeks later, I'm on to the next thing.
Okay, so if it's Kyrie... do the Nets have enough to trade for Anthony Davis, Sue?
You could do the math.
Well,
I don't think package-wise they do, but I think New Orleans wants Jason Tatum above everything else. I think Anthony Davis wants to go to the Lakers no matter what.
But again, I said this the other day. What if they don't want to trade him to the Lakers because they're in the same conference? And F the Lakers, we don't like the Lakers. And the Celtics now say, we can't make this deal. We're going to get caught with our pants down again and give you Tatum or Brown or both in the process. No shot. Who's left?
Yeah, so that's why, again, they asked Danny about the risk of that. And he said, well, we did it before. We'll do it again.
Well, what you might have here is a situation where the Celtics need to go get the equivalent of Ray Allen to get Kevin Garnett. So if there's a player who wants to work with Anthony Davis, the Celtics get him at the draft, and then they go to Anthony Davis and say, we have a guy you want to play with, come to Boston, and we'll make it work.
If I'm the Celtics, I don't love any of this.
Me neither.
I take a step back and just be patient and let the money come off your books, develop the kids. You're not going to be better next year, okay? But just accept it. Maybe those players get better. And when Horford's gone... And maybe he can opt out this year. Maybe Horford reads the writing on the wall that you're taking a step back and I don't want to be a part of this. And then you get max money now and you just sort of reset it. And okay.
So you need like everybody to leave to get one max slot.
You
need
say
Horford
everybody.
To go and then you get 35 million plus Morris and Rozier and this, that, the other thing.
Okay, well, that's fine. So Kyrie's gone. Horford's gone. Marcus Morris is gone. He didn't want to be here anyway.
Baines opts out.
And then you can find him anywhere. And Rozier, I can live. So if all those guys are gone, you get
35 million, which is a max slot.
That's what they should probably do.
Okay. And if not, wait a year and Horford's done then for sure in a year. And then, you know, you can give me a cocktail napkin and work out the cap. Then you'll have max money in the next year or two.
I just, yeah.
And restart.
Look, I think it's going to be a longer process. I mean, when I say longer, along the lines of what you're saying, because I just don't see any way that they can make the Anthony Davis trade now after Kyrie, you know, jilts him in 2 years. I can't see any way that they'd be willing to do that.
Okay, it's an agenda-free Friday, mostly Bruins, but we're mixing some other stuff from the week, and there's that. Here's Murray's update, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I could say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations.
His camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
I've got a little black book with some names in and a bag full of cash for free agents. I've read all the blogs about who I should bring to the Celtics.
You gotta sign Kemba Walker, Danny!
I got gentle Brad coaching his ass off. Got these bitchy team blues. I thought that 13 played like and Rozier's a bum.
I sacrificed how Terry Rozier played. I feel like I couldn't be that person.
I've done everything right.
Danny Ainge is the most valuable member of the Celtics.
And all they did was fight. Because you didn't feel like you were the foundation. And that is how I know. When I try to get through on the telephone to you, there'll be nobody home.
You have reached the voicemail box of
Kyrie Irving.
Sorry, please try again later. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
No matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on.
There you go. Big Jim Murray spin on that little Pink Floyd.
Danny was just so sad. I had to do something with it.
Poor bastard.
Start all over again.
Okay, again, he can mix that in with our Bruins conversation to you, as promised. Anthony in Tampa. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, that call was bogus. But you know what? We'll take out the aggravation on that call because they are being outplayed. And I think
I'm going to stop you right there. You can't give me pseudonyms and like different locations. Just call as yourself, and we'll put you on once a day. Please, for the love of God.
Tampa?
No, he's pretending to be Carlton in Tampa or something. We are taking our frustrations out on that call. The team's getting beat.
I mean, to me, again, I just think this is your classic case of displaced frustration and anger. Was it a crap call? Of course. We all know that, and they know it. You know what the reality is? They also know they're getting their asses kicked. They can't handle the strength of the Blues. The size and strength of the Blues, they can't handle it. They don't know what to do, which is why Cassidy started pulling names out of a hat, for crying out loud, with the lines late in the game. And I actually texted that to Murray in real time. He's just pulling names out of a hat now. It's like throwing them all together. He's trying to find something that works.
That didn't bother me as much. I agree with you that he should not have split up Johansson and Coyle. They should stay together. But anything else, fine with me.
Yeah, so again, I don't mind some of it, too.
I mean, the top six are zeros across the board, even strength, Maz.
Yeah, I know it.
DeBrus just got on the board, but
I just didn't like putting Coyle up there. When I saw it, I was surprised because someone brought it up yesterday on the show. And I went, why would you do that? The other thing is, you're one forward short to begin with. Now you're going to put two centers on one line? What does that leave for the rest of it? Like, what are you going to have? Pasternak, center in a line?
So look, I'm less concerned with the combinations out there than who's out there for the amount of time that they are. In other words, Marcus Johansson, I think, has been your most consistent winger. He got 17 minutes, while Pasternak and Marchand each got 22. And Coyle got 16 and a half. You've got to flip those. Coyle and Johansson have been better, more consistent. I think Coyle for sure, and Johansson for whatever reason, stand up to the physicality of the Blues. They are have consistently better shifts and more. They have to get more minutes than those guys. And especially when you get going through the course of the game.
And it's like he's caught up on who these guys are and what they have been. He has to focus on what they are now and make that change.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to switch for any coach, though.
You can't sit them, but you can at least reduce the numbers.
Mike in Wakefield. Go ahead, Mike.
Good timing. I was about to start up the lawnmower of a car I have, as we know how much Jim Murray loves that on the weekends. So, yeah, dude, I'm totally with Maz about this. The Bruins are just getting out physical. And if I'm them and I'm watching the Blues get away with murder, I'm going to start taking liberties myself. I mean, why would you? Why are you going to play?
I'm going to cut you off as you play in your garage. So should they start taking liberties themselves?
No. No, liberties, no, because, again, you'll get called for penalties. Because in your case, again, this is where the size is a factor. You're going to have to cheat to beat them physically, and you can't. Now, liberties, no, but can they shake things up? And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I think it's a major problem. And so I told you, I'd do something a little crazy, and I say a little crazy. It's not that crazy. I'd put Backes with the first line. I'd take Pasternak off there and put him with Krejci. I'd put Backes with the first line and go back to 12 forwards.
Because Backes can stand up to Parayko and those guys?
Because Backes is physical at the very least, and it gives you some size. So someone who can battle in the front of the net with these guys a little bit. I just think it's a problem, Mike. That line doesn't have it.
I mean,
they just don't have any strength.
That Amonte comment, they're easy to play against.
Yeah, and the Blues, by the way, are the definition of a team that's hard to play against. They're the definition of it. They're big, they're tough, they're strong, all of it. And they're disciplined. Like, you know, they're crowding the front of the net now. I'd give them a big guy. I'd give them a big guy, even if he's slow. Give them a big guy.
Okay, Coyle. I mean, but that was part of the rationale there.
Well, it definitely was part of the rationale, except that then you take him away from Johansson. You need them both. So this is, you know, they went with 7D. I think that hurt him a little bit last night because one of their only options was to put Coyle with that line.
Zach and Fitchburg on the officiating. Yes, Zach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was originally going to say some of the officiating, but all the calls have beat that dead already. I wanted to talk about Rask because I know we've been waiting for the Tim Thomas game from him, and I think he might have gotten that last night. He let in 2-on-19, but I think he took the edge on the stretch. They let up 4 or 5 breakaways at least, or he had to bail them out. I remember one time.
Okay, you keep fading in and out, Zach. I mean, that was his Tim Thomas game last night?
No, I wouldn't go that far, no. But he did make some saves on odd man rushes or breakaways that were big.
No question. Made a couple early. What, they trapped under his pad? I don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
It was right on the goal line.
Another one, he went left to right.
Post to post?
That was Perron again, yeah.
Absolutely. Made a big stop there. No, he was good, as usual. He was good.
He needs to be superhuman.
It's just the other guy won the 2-1 game.
Yeah.
You know, we need him to win the 2-1 game, the 1-0 game. And that's just, I don't know. I felt going into last night's game that we're going to get one of those eventually. Who's going to get it? Can Rask do that for you? And it turned out to be the other guy last night. So Rask is still capable. I don't think he's, Maz made a good point. In 2013 against the Hawks, he kind of faded. He hasn't faded here. He's still strong. And he's still on it. He may have come down a little bit from the previous rounds, but he's still, you know, I think he's still quote unquote in the zone, or at least, you know, on the outskirts of the zone.
So he's still playing at a high level.
He's still playing at a high level. Thank you. So can he win the 2-1 game? Can you win a game 6 like that while no one can find the back of the net? We'll continue with your thoughts. Long commercial free segment is next. We have Fresh Fuppets. Fresh Fuppets. You'll hear that this segment as well. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rhodes scooted around to the near side. Here's Achari down low. He got slew-footed by Bozak. We continue. Right circle now, Perron. Centers block. They score! Noel Achari got slew-footed. Couldn't get back into the play. The Blues generate the chance and squirt one through Rask. It's 2-0 St. Louis.
This is an obvious penalty. How this is not called is unreal. It's unreal.
It's going to be Achari who gets slew-footed by Tyler Bozak. Everyone's looking for a penalty. Tyler Bozak, who trips him up. I think he's thinking he's going to the box. Fans are starting to throw bottles and towels on the ice.
The Boston fans are chucking bottles, towels,
dodge debris,
and everything onto the ice.
I would fine any fan $5,000 per person, throw him out of the building, force him to spend 2 nights in jail.
Not a surprise, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? It's a good non-call. It's a good non-call. There's a battle. It looks like Achari goes to counter-hit Tyler Bozak. Their feet do just get tied up. Kind of incidental contact. Achari flies back.
It's a missed call, I think, and that's just kind of embarrassing.
It's a penalty every time. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Their player's on his way to the box. It's right in front of the official. It's a slew foot. I mean, it's blatant. It's a big effect in the game. It's the National Hockey League getting a black eye with their officiating this playoffs, and it was egregious.
You can see the official has a clear view of it, a crystal clear view. Again,
no call. This is a disaster causing Cam Neely to act like this. And I don't blame him, because you work all year long to eliminate 29 teams to get yourself in a position to be 2 out of 3 in a Stanley Cup final. An official blows a call as badly as that was blown. That's just unforgivable. And I don't know where Kelly Sutherland winds up again, but it shouldn't be refereeing another Stanley Cup final game.
Jimmy Stewart's fine look back at the controversial non-call last night. Should have been called. I just can't say you got robbed. I don't think you should have won that game. I don't think you were the better team. I don't think you were in control. I don't think you're in control of the series. But just last night, you weren't even in control in that situation. You were kind of running around your own end. Again, they should have called it. It was a blown call. But you didn't get robbed. You weren't up 4-0. You were losing 1-0, and really were getting shut down again. So I don't know where this thing has taken hold, like somehow they took one away from you.
I think the Blues have completely just dominated the area in front of their net.
They have. But the thing is, that directly led to a goal. We're talking about the Bruins going on a power play in a 1-0 game, and I know there's still a lot of unknown there, but considering the weird bounces and the unpredictability of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, I'd like to think that the Bruins still would have been able to tie that game up and maybe send it into overtime. So that thus the reason I and others are outraged.
Yeah, I mean,
the Blues were the better team. Both things can be true.
I mean, it was a brutal call. There's no two ways about it. I mean, it's a brutal call. The fact of the matter is, though, the Bruins have been outplayed in the series. And that's where I sit. And the other thing is, like, look, I get it with Neely. He's the team president. He's losing his mind up there. Like, I think it's a bad look.
Careful, Maz. People love it.
Okay, so if I were him, I'd be frustrated, too. I'm not him, and I'm frustrated. But I just think it's a bad look, let alone people throwing crap on the ice. I mean, you know, it's like it's a bad moment all the way around. The fact of the matter is you're being outplayed. You're being outplayed and nobody can deal with it. And so this is the problem. You got to find a way to win a game and outplay him 2 in a row now, or it's going to be a tough summer.
It goes without saying, you're a better person than me, but when you're pissed and you're hammered, fling away.
Not on the ice, Murray. You don't endorse that. Or other, Sarandis has you suspended from sports.
Oh, yeah, no, I should be in jail because I would have thrown if I was there last night.
You
too.
Can't. We don't. That is not an official stance of the Felger and Maserati program. I disagree. You would have chucked something on the ice? Come on, Murray, you're not that guy, are you?
Game 7 loss in overtime to Carolina in 09. I might have thrown a few things.
Oh, no, that's horrible.
Hey, look, you get caught up in the moment. Things happen.
Don't be that guy.
So, look, I get it.
Dodge,
I get
the first.
Yeah, the crap that Murray's throwing. But you can't. I do think, though, again, it is symptomatic of the frustration they're all feeling because they don't have an answer.
You know, and another thing with the I guess there was a fight in the stands. Like, this is a big deal.
At least a few.
When I first moved here, Maz, and I would go to the Garden to Bruins games, it was one a night.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
It was good. You were good for a fight a night in the stands. I used to go just for that sometimes.
Yeah, let alone at the bars pregame.
Oh, it was tremendous. There used to be a fight. It was the same with the old Chicago Stadium when I'd go down there when I was a kid in Milwaukee. There'd be a fight, a game in the stands. I'm like, this is awesome. And the old Garden used to be like that. When I first moved here in 88, it was like that every night. There was someone going in the bleachers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this is tremendous.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, I can tell you stories. I mean, like, it just happened all the time. The only place it didn't really happen was Celtics games because they won all the time.
And it was a different sort of crowd.
Crowd, totally.
Wine and cheese.
No,
crowd.
No. Fenway, Bruins games.
Oh, the old
Foxborough?
Patriots? Oh, my God.
Holy crap. Foxborough, you had to bring weaponry with you.
So these kids don't know. They don't know what it used to be like in the old days, Maz. In the old days, you wouldn't be bitching about a tripping call. I don't think.
They're getting manhandled. That's the issue.
Ron in Medford, thanks for hanging on. I think I left you on there too long. My fault. How you doing?
Hello?
Hello, Ron. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, I'm actually calling about what this is going to mean. Marshawn, Bergeron, Chara, Krejci. You know, getting the 3 Cup finals in 8 years is a magnificent achievement with what they got to go through to get there. But if they lose this series, I think it severely taints their legacy. This is a series they should win. There's no doubt they should win this series. And, you know, the fact that the first line's done nothing is just killing us. But I just think it severely taints their legacy because that Chicago series, they blew 2 third-period leads in Game 1 and Game 6. That was a winnable series. And where that first line hasn't shown up, if they lose this series, I just think it's just a stain on what could have been a great legacy.
It is. It is. they become that team that not always came up short, but came up short more than they came through.
I mean, I just think the second championship would just mean so much. So I suppose by default, I don't look at them.
Losing two of three, you become
the hockey Atlanta Braves of the 90s.
I mean, it's not that bad, but, you know, it's just one step removed from that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't on the one hand sit here and tell you that I think two really enhances them, and then in the same breath tell you that two losses doesn't hurt, because I think it does. But,
It's one of those things, it's almost better not to go to the Super Bowl than go and lose. The Bills are losers of the early 90s.
Well, and especially
they're losers, and they would have been better off not ever having gone.
Especially losing the way they're losing. And if we're talking about, like, you know, Bergeron and Marchand, they get back there in zero even strength points. Ty Anderson, who writes for our website, 985thesportshub.com, covers the Bruins, tweeted out a stat a little while ago that I found absolutely mind-numbing.
Okay, why don't we tease it?
Okay.
It relates to this. A stat that will blow your doors off. Coming up after the top of the hour, no commercials here, taking you into the top of the hour, is the Fuppets from Hardy. The brilliant creation of Rob Hardy Pool, Felger and Mass to Puppets. It's an audio thing, so if you're listening on the radio, you'll follow along audio-ly. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast, you'll see it in all its glory. We'll put out in all of the social media stuff that we have as well. It's somewhat timely. It was obviously recorded and done before last night, but it does have to do with flopping, I think, but it's not current to last night. So you're just going to have to just play along. Here it is, the Fuppets. If they put me in charge of sports, I would eliminate diving so fast it would make your head spin. Inside of 2 years, I would clean up all of these sports. I would start with soccer. I get knocked down. I'd give the red cards to the Euro weenie rolling around like he's on fire on the turf. Then I'd go to the NBA. And I would start handing out massive fines.
It has to be a massive fine.
$50,000 is $50,000. I don't care how much you make.
No. That Tarasenko thing should have been
$500,000. Okay, so now you're all outraged after the Bruins are flopping around. You hate it when the team does it to you, so why do you celebrate when you do it to them? I'm not talking about any specific league. I'm talking about sports. Just make me the commissioner of sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.